Monday, pre-snow day.
Yeah.
You can't take it anymore, Bill.
You got more coming tomorrow and Wednesday, Wendy. Just be ready for it. Have a shovel in hand. You're going to need it.
I already have a shovel in hand. I leave my shovel out year-round now in Chicago.
You never know.
I know.
Play it safe, I say. I want to just quickly make a comment on something. When we had Eric Zorn on from the Chicago Tribune, and we were talking about the situation in Virginia, with, you know, the blackface situation of what's going on with high-ranking officials in Virginia having possibly worn blackface in their younger years. And Eric mentioned that some say that it should now be a new rule that from this day forward, just to make things easier, all right, whatever happened in the past is the past, but from this day forward, anyone who wears it, you're really playing with fire, so please don't. So here's my quick question, and I mean this so sincerely. When Billy Crystal was on Saturday Night Live, he did the most amazing Sammy Davis Jr. impression I've ever seen.
He did. He was
also
really good.
The most amazing Muhammad Ali impression I had ever seen. They did a segment once. It was called Kate and Ali. And what it was Martin Short played Katharine Hepburn, and Billy Crystal played Muhammad Ali, Kate and Ali. And it was just like the show Kate and Ali, but instead you had Katharine Hepburn and Muhammad Ali living together in an apartment, fighting and stuff. All right, so my question is this. In those particular instances, and Saturday Night Live and other shows like it, like there Eddie Murphy one time did a short film where he was a white guy.
And looked like a total white guy.
Yeah. Billy Crystal did one. It was a short film called Negro Leagues where he played a baseball player from the old Negro Leagues, a black baseball player. All right, so my question is this. Is that still okay?
Not if it would happen today.
See, that's what I mean. I don't think there was even the slightest bit of malice involved in his portrayal. I know for a fact there wasn't. He was doing an incredible impression of Sammy Davis Jr. and of Muhammad Ali, and to make those impressions more three-dimensional, he had to be wearing dark makeup for you to buy it.
Daryl Hammond did Jesse Jackson, a Jebedee Jebedee, and he was really good.
Hysterical.
Although, I don't know if you recall that they had lessened up on the makeup. They still had makeup on them, but it wasn't as dark as when Jesse Jackson originally appeared via Daryl Hammond.
And he tells the story about how he did that in his, when he auditioned for Saturday Night Live, he did it and they loved it. And then when they tried to bring it to air, everybody was like, I don't know if we can really put that on air. And it took some convincing to finally let him do it on the show. And then people loved it. Or some people loved it. Most people loved it, I think. So my question is, in instances like that, how do we...
Can we ask Jasmine? Because, you know, you're sitting here looking at another white person. I don't know
it's
what...
It's because I'm black, right?
Yes. This time, yes.
This time, yes.
Funny joke run right here. No racism.
But that's it. I mean, I brought this up before, and, you know, it's blackface is not good in the term blackface. That is not good. That's disrespectful. As someone did characters and shows and they put makeup on, is that disrespectful if you're... If there's no malice behind it, if you idolize that person, is it still disrespectful?
Yes. Yes and yes.
All right.
If you were watching Saturday Night Live and one of the performers, a white performer, was playing a character, and I don't know how much familiarity you have with Billy Crystal, but he aside from being a good comic, he was a great impressionist. And those impressions, Muhammad Ali and Sammy Davis Jr., I've never seen anyone do those impressions better. So would you be upset if you had Saturday Night Live on and a white guy was playing Sammy Davis Jr. or Muhammad Ali?
I think the problem is the context behind it all is what's really, I want to say, damning to my race in particular. Like, I wouldn't, if Eddie Murphy did that, or I forgot, the Marlon, the Wayans brothers,
they did that too.
Yeah, Two White Chicks, right? The movie Two White Chicks?
Yeah, it's funny to us when we see...
White Chicks, I guess.
Okay, but wait, that's funny to you, but then...
But when it's that, and you have to take the history behind it, now you have to take
into
that, then it's like, no, it's not. It's not okay. But I see where it can be biased because, like I said, the Wayans, when they did White Chicks, it was funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a...
That wasn't funny to me just because sometimes the Wayans aren't funny. It had nothing to do with them being
white
chicks.
With them being white in it. Right.
Because, you know, if you're... You think of makeup. If somebody's playing a Jewish person, a lot of times they'll put like the Hasidic Jew tendril things. You know, I don't know what they're called.
The Pesach curls.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
They'll put that on for costumes. They'll wear a yarmulke. They'll wear a beard or do something like that.
Right.
Is that disrespectful?
So let's say they're doing a production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Exactly.
And the guy who's playing Tevye is not actually Jewish,
right,
but he wears costuming to imply that he is.
And I know that's a religion versus race, but
right,
I'm still
saying,
is that disrespectful? That's where, and I plead ignorance here, and I want to know the right thing, because I'm sorry if you do something against the law and you just say, well, I didn't know, it doesn't matter. I want to know what's right and what's wrong. Does it vary?
I think it's varying, but I think because the rules are so gray, I don't know how it could be cleared up easily. Do you remember those instances of Billy Crystal on Saturday Night Live?
100%.
I can't for a second think that he somewhere in the back of his mind went, I'm really going to screw with Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, backstory on that, loved Billy Crystal and loved that impression. Just loved it. And the very first time Billy Crystal became famous was on one of those Dean Martin roasts, which, by the way, very often were incredibly racist. And Billy Crystal did that impression of Muhammad Ali being interviewed by Howard Cosell. And most of America had never heard of or seen Billy. They didn't know who Billy Crystal was. And he went in a room full of celebrities and just absolutely destroyed the room. And then all of a sudden, Billy Crystal was famous because he did that with Muhammad Ali sitting right there. Muhammad Ali couldn't stop laughing. And he was crying. He was laughing so hard. So I don't know how stuff like that can be judged in any way, shape, or form as being racist when all he was doing was an impression of a guy he admired in both those cases.
And that's when I know you could say, well, why wouldn't you hire a black actor to do that? Well, no black actor did at that time on SNL a good enough impression to get that part.
Right, right.
So that's where I don't know.
I think, again, were we allowed in those spaces during that time? I mean, SNL was up and coming. It was there. But were we really in those spaces to say, hey, we could do that? Or was there somebody there? Did we have the opportunity? That's where it comes into.
Right.
Was Garrett Morris on the show at the time?
Garrett Morris had already left the show. Garrett Morris, for people who don't know, was an original cast member of Saturday Night Live.
Sorry.
Was there for 5 years. Billy Crystal came a couple years after Garrett Morris. I don't know. I'm trying to remember with that cast if there were any black cast members, regulars. I'm trying to remember in the years Billy Crystal was only a cast member for 1 year. For most of Saturday Night Live, the early days of SNL, they had one black cast member, always a guy. I think Ellen Cleghorn was the first full-time black woman on Saturday Night Live, I think. And now the cast is more diverse than it's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some progress, right? And even if you had, wouldn't it kind of be a disservice? Let's say that year on Saturday Night Live that they had a black actor who could have played Sammy Davis Jr., but wouldn't it be upsetting to think if he wasn't as good as Billy Crystal's impression
is dead on.
Is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go, who am I helping by not having the guy who does the better impression? Why would I go with somebody else if this guy does it perfect, right?
But, Bill, I have to tell you, I agree with you, but do I agree with you because I'm white also?
No, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But I'm not thinking of it as a racial thing. It's like, all right, in our Christmas play, you played Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a woman. I'm a minority. What if they wanted to give it to me, but I don't do it as well as you? Then it would be stupid, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the point I'm making is if all things
were
equal,
which they never are. You do the best person for the job.
That's how, yeah.
And an impression of Muhammad Ali, you give it to the person who could do an impression of Muhammad Ali.
And at that point, when Billy Crystal did specifically the Muhammad Ali impression, he had already been doing Muhammad Ali for about 10 years at that point. He had it so totally mastered. And like I said, watch Muhammad Ali's reaction to Billy Crystal's impression.
There's a video of it. It's
he is laughing as hard as you can possibly laugh. And there's no way in the world that in that particular instance he was going, watch this. I'm really going to screw with this guy by doing this over-characterization, this over-impression. Watch this. I mean, he was doing a dead-on impression of a guy that he admired and loved.
So that, to me, is not bad because there is...
So how does history treat that? Like, let's say they did a compilation next Saturday of Saturday Night Live's greatest bits, and one of them was the impression of Muhammad Ali or of Sammy Davis Jr. Don't you think people now would go, oh, no, you can't show this? And that's that's sad, because it's great.
He did speak at Muhammad Ali's eulogy, too. There's a YouTube video of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it just depends on the entertainment. Like, the whole situation yesterday on the Grammys when J-Lo did the whole Motown tribute. That was... I don't know if they couldn't get anybody else to do it. I just felt like it was just really like, I don't know, like say Fantasia would do the Latina Music Awards. Like that's completely polar opposite to me.
Right.
But now is that a racist comment? You didn't approve of it because she's a Latina.
She's not even from that era.
Well, that's what I agree with. But, you know, Miley Cyrus is not from the era of Dolly Parton either. However, J-Lo is not known for Motown. I just feel they should have gotten... I didn't see it, so I can't... Did she do a good job?
I mean, she danced, but...
Motown was more than dance. It was a delivery that was sensational.
Right.
So they could have gotten someone else.
I feel like they could have, but I don't... Like I said, I don't know the reason behind that, the whole spiel, but I just felt like it was offensive to me because I'm like, gosh, you had so many other people you could have choose from.
Sure. Right.
Why her?
Right.
Well, it was offensive to me just because it didn't represent Motown from what I hear. So I guess I shouldn't say that because I didn't watch it.
That's kind of the same. It's in the same vein.
But I don't like to offend anyone when I speak, so I'd like to find out what's right, but I don't even know what's right anymore.
Let me take it in a slightly different direction. On The Simpsons, they have been grappling with the idea of what to do with the character of Apu, who is kind of a stereotypical shopkeeper.
Kind of. He is.
He is. Funny at times, stereotypical at times, but people have said it's time we don't stereotype that way, so get rid of the character. But in my head, I always think of so many others that you could put the Swedish Chef on the Muppets. Couldn't you say to some extent that a guy who's speaking mock Swedish, it's not really Swedish.
It's disrespectful to real Swedes.
So like when do you take an eraser and just start going, well, and that's offensive to the Dutch, and that is offensive to people from the Philippines, and that's upsetting if you're from Soviet Union, you gotta get rid of that. Couldn't you say that about Boris Bedanov and Natasha? Couldn't you go, wow, the Russians?
Yes.
They,
and the whole Apu thing, I think if I was of Indian descent, that would bother me. I feel it would.
Yeah.
But I feel the same, Wendy.
I do, but I also have to say something else. If you're replicating some kind of character that you've come across in your life, and that person was... white, black, purple, whatever, you're depicting that particular character, and there are people in all races that are a character. Like, I have a crotchety old man who lives down the street. He's a white guy, mm-hmm. but if I was making a sitcom, I'd have a crotchety old man who was a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes this is based on mm-hmm. characters. It's not everybody.
Right. Right, right.
So I don't know how I feel about Apu. If I was an Indian...
You'd be offended.
I would, yes.
Right. So how does the show then, what does the show do if they've been around for how many years, 25 years?
So
right?
Do they not show the episodes with Apu in it?
You mean in reruns and
yeah.
stuff like that? Yeah, you can't, you can't do that. He's in almost every episode. You can't just take him out of it. But now I don't know if they've decided whether or not to put him to rest. Are they going to just move him off the show? But like I said, he's only the tip of the iceberg. In shows that have existed forever, there's always been characters that have been stereotypes.
Officer
of a certain...
Wiggum eating the donuts. Are they going to stop doing that? Homer, you know, all the, you know, dumbass dads out there. Are you going to boycott Homer because he's a dumbass dad?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's just going to be Santa's little helper.
One day, TV will only be Tom Bergeron will be the only thing on TV.
Oh, my God.
Do you want that?
No. I'd give up television.
No more TV.
That'd be the one time I would give up television.
No more TV. All right, we must take a break, and then Kim Gordon will join us and give you the news, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Things we discuss.
On and off the air.
Yeah, I just, we were talking to Jasmine, who is, and now, see, now I'm going to be all weird about it, too. Do I have to say you're an African-American, or can I say you're black?
I can say African-American, black, doesn't matter.
We were just discussing whether or not, you know, if a white kid dresses up in Black Panther and has the mask on, not makeup, but the mask, isn't the mask?
The mask is black.
Yeah, so is that racism? Is that being a racist? I don't have an answer to that.
Jez, you would say that if a kid was going as Black Panther for Halloween, if they made their face black, that would be crossing the line.
That would be offensive. That's
the mask
part.
Is not.
Right.
The makeup would be.
Yeah.
Right. Why is the mask that's black not, but the makeup is?
Because that's a part of his costume.
Yeah. Right.
I guess. See, I guess I don't know.
Halloween is going to be very tricky. Then.
Yes.
But my kids have never done anything where, like, let's pick white people to be because you're white. I mean, then you don't have to worry about it.
In a way, this is like stifling creativity for people because you don't want to offend, but yet you want to have fun and have a costume. But
didn't Eddie Murphy, when he was Gumby, make a big deal about wearing green face? Wasn't that one of the bits that he was trying to decide if green face was allowable or not?
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that's why I try to check things out to see, because I don't, the bottom line is I don't want to hurt anyone, and I don't want people to be offended by anything I do.
Yeah. All right. That's, what's wrong with that?
I don't know.
You know what, though? You're never going to please everybody all the time. That's the problem. Obviously, you know when not to go too far.
Yeah.
Although, you know? Aren't there people that are genuinely nice people that if there was a misunderstanding, you'd be more apt to go, oh my God, they didn't mean it, than if you're a jerk and you're not kind, and then you'd be like, oh, you're just like that.
Well, you're a little more forgiving when you haven't violated the rules numerous times, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No question.
Like we said the other day, everybody makes mistakes, you learn from them and you move on.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to do some news. Then after the news, we're going to tell you the top things that food safety experts will not eat. And so maybe we should heed their advice. That's sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, as we tell you what's hot and what's cold. Jasmine posted something on her Facebook page. We were just talking about Diana Ross. Kim was saying how much you liked the Grammys
they
for the first time in a long time.
Oh, I couldn't stop watching.
Your story is very similar, Wendy.
Yes.
You said you don't usually watch, but you loved last night's
show.
And
Diana Ross's 9-year-old grandson introduced her.
He was so cute, so eloquent.
Yeah.
He's adorable, but she was there, and it's, you know, I'm looking at all the video, watch Diana Ross celebrate her 75th birthday. Jasmine, you seem to be confused about Diana Ross's birthday.
I'm just asking for a friend because I'm a huge fan of Diana Ross ever since I was a little girl. I always wanted her hair, everything. So I remember her birthday.
Do you know where you're coming from?
I mean, her birthday's in March, so I was
That's
really confused
well,
why
I think
she said
she's
that.
Going to be 75, but, you know, the Grammys are now, so, you know, everybody celebrates. She's celebrating early.
Mm-hmm. I guess she's a queen, so she can celebrate
the whole
year.
She can celebrate all year, right.
I thought she meant that was her birthday.
I did, too, because I was like, no, that's not your birthday.
No, I think it's like the
March 26th.
It's like, you know, this is the beginning of probably what's going to be an extended celebration, don't you think?
Right, yeah. So I was confused at first, but I think that's what she meant.
Her grandson got her hair, though.
Oh, my gosh.
He was so adorable. He's so cute.
It's the mother of five will celebrate her big day early next month. Although it's March 26th. That's not early next month.
No, that's not early.
There are conflicting reports here. This
about
is ageism.
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, I think it is.
All right, can I scare you into eating things?
Oh, yeah, please do.
I know this is the lunch hour that we're on the stream right now. People are having lunch at 12:40. These are the top things that food safety experts won't ever eat, so maybe we should heed their advice.
Okay.
One of them is the thing I live for, buffets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not a buffet gal, so I'm good on that.
I'm sorry, if I want to go get, you know, green beans and spinach with pizza and tacos, you can do whatever you want. No one's looking over your shoulder. But they said, while food regulations have become more stringent and there are a plethora of policies in place for safe food handling and prep practices, too many opportunities for mishandling for one of their likings.
Be sure of that.
Yeah, and I would think also just
touching the spoon. The temperature is an issue that came up.
Double dipping.
Customers serve themselves.
Never good.
It isn't good. And a lot of times you will see like the serving spoon like in the zucchini vegetable medley.
Right.
And so if somebody like sticks their hand in to grab it, I just don't trust others. So maybe I might be finished with buffets now too. I've just grossed myself out.
One time. Now there's a couple of chains that do this, but they're like Asian buffets where you go and you put your food on the plate and then you bring it up to a giant wok and it's cooked for you and they bring it to the
table. I love those places.
I do too.
I like that.
I do too, but listen to this.
Raw meat.
We're in line and there's a guy in front of me and here's what he's doing, because you get to the part where there's like 11 or 14 different kinds of sauces.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a spoon and he puts it in one and he tastes it. He puts it in another one and he tastes
it. Same spoon.
And
oh,
I go,
I'm sure people,
what are you doing?
Sure,
he goes, I'm tasting
about, like,
the sauces.
Sneezing all over it too. I know they have those sneeze guards, but
but the sneezing, I know that's gross, but I think that's an accident. This guy was intentionally
deliberately trying all the different sauces. Just going, I want to make sure it's the one
confronted him, which you shouldn't have. You should have just gone right to the manager and said, I gotta tell you,
need that guy taken out of here,
or I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But so you confronted him very
It was just a reaction, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I just said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying the sauces. I go, I know, but that's not how you do it.
You put some on your plate.
Right.
He goes, this is faster this way.
Oh,
which
it,
technically, he was right.
Did you stay there after that?
I could. Well, I didn't do any of that. Well, actually, I shouldn't say
you
I couldn't do the sauces.
You wash your hands after you go
to the other side. Right. What else?
Oh.
What other secrets are you keeping
exactly.
from us, your fellow patrons? Yeah, horrible.
See, that's all about trusting other people, and I don't. I trust
no.
All right, we're done with buffets. That's it.
Damn it, I love them, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I love it. And I know this is an isolated incident. Well, my way of dealing with it is I'm not going to come back here for 1 month. That really woke them up over there. All right, so we'll be more careful.
So they wiped it down.
Yeah. Make sure that guy's nowhere near here from here on in.
I can't give up on buffets. I love them. I don't go very frequently. There was an old country buffet near us.
Yeah.
And when my kids were younger, that's where they chose for their birthday dinner because it was so cheap. You could bring a bunch of their friends.
Sure.
And I'm serious. What kid does not mind getting pizza, chicken nuggets?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can get whatever you want.
Do you remember the day that they showed? I can't remember what show was on, but it was some show that got a lot of people watching, and you watched it and I watched it, and they showed commercials for a buffet called Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I go, where's that? And it turned out there's one in Tinley Park near where I grew up. The commercials are great because it just all it shows is every
crab
kind of food
legs.
You've ever dreamt of.
I know
it's not as great as the commercial show.
We used to have one in Louisville. My kids loved it. No, it's gross.
Kids love buffets.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And then when I think that kids love buffets, that makes me think I don't. You
right.
know?
If they love it, what's in it for me?
Well, because they grab things, you know, sometimes don't use the tongs.
Right.
But I love, like, when you go to a fancy buffet, especially, like, for a brunch and they have the omelet bar.
That's
That's so fun.
Yeah. Right. And some resorts, I have stayed in some places where they'll do a buffet that you just go, oh, my God, this is
beautiful.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, but you're on vacation, so you don't care what other
calories
people have
count.
Done. And germs don't count.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no germs
because you don't think about
that. Because you get sick when you get home. Who cares?
Right. I'm on vacation.
I don't know, guys. I never go to buffets, but I'm going to keep going.
It's been a while for me.
This is something
we're only on number one, and I'm already grossed out.
Oh, yeah, just wait. I like to have Manhattans at a bar. That's my new drink for now. But my goat, that's...
Is that like a winter drink? Kind of.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Because in the summer, my typical is a vodka and tonic, extra limes.
Mm-hmm. And that's summery.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the citrus. No limes, no lemons. Many bars and restaurants serve a wedge of lemon or lime on the side of sodas, water, or beer.
I know why.
I always ask for mine without it or pull it off right away. I don't know who handled that lemon and if they washed their hands properly before slicing it. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, and did they wash the rind of the lemon that's going in your drink?
Well,
doubt it.
They will many times. They will cut a lime or a lemon in either a half or a quarter, and then leave the rest of it out. So it's just kind of there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the best thing.
I like
in the
to eat raw lemons, but I won't
I do
it in a restaurant anymore.
No. You know, after doing 10 years in comedy clubs, the deal in a comedy club was you had free rein in the bar area. You could
get
a
free
drink.
Drinks?
they always had free drinks.
All night,
but
if
then
you wanted
also,
it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you could ask for extra cherries, too.
Well, I always, I would find myself putting, like, maraschino cherries in a glass and just walking around. I'd have six or eight of them and stuff like that. And I forgot sometimes, like, I'd be in a restaurant, I'd walk past the bar area and just grab some cherries or a lime or something. You can't do that.
No, I do that with olives. I'll get a glass of olives.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They have the really great cherries that they put in a Manhattan. They're these Italian cherries. They're not bright red. They're almost black.
Yeah.
Those are super good.
Yep. The high-end ones.
I got to have that in a Manhattan.
Designer cherries.
They are. They're $20 for a jar that I have had sitting in my refrigerator for quite some time.
A special occasion for when good people come over.
No good people ever come over, though.
No.
So, yeah, that's a problem with the citrus fruit or the sides.
Yeah.
And raw sprouts, despite the health benefits, I will not eat raw sprouts. This is one of the health inspectors, and this is from foodnetwork.com. I stay clear of any food with raw sprouts in it because they have the propensity to cause foodborne illnesses just by their nature and also by how they're grown. Sprouts have been documented as being hosts for many foodborne illnesses. Illness pathogens. The best conditions for sprouting also support the rapid growth of foodborne illness pathogens if present in the seed. E. coli, salmonella, listeria, all linked to the consumption of raw sprouts. Although raw sprouts, how else do you eat them?
I don't think you can. I mean,
that's the option, right?
You always hear, though, about alfalfa sprouts being the culprit for people getting sick.
It says, I will only consider eating them if well cooked, but I've never... I mean, bean sprouts
sometimes
and Asian
in a stir
food,
fry, right. Sometimes
but that's bean sprouts.
In.
This isn't these little tiny...
Yeah.
You'd cook this, there'd be nothing left. It would be just like hair.
Yeah, disintegrate.
Yeah. There'd be no sprout part of it.
I don't like sprouts.
I like
so
it.
I'm okay on that one.
Undercooked ground meat. A lot of people order their hamburgers rare.
Yeah.
It's different for a steak. They say... we don't eat raw or undercooked ground meat of any kind in our house. All raw meat has bacteria on the surface. Some are harmless and beneficial in breaking down the muscle fibers as takes place in the aging process. But raw meat can also have bacteria that could be harmful if the meat is not handled and cooked properly. Mm-hmm. Since the bacteria lives on the surface of the meat, steak you can enjoy medium rare because it's cooked on the outside. But when you grind meat, it gets all mixed up, and then some of that bacteria could be on the middle.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you want to cook it through. I've been pretty... I like my burgers kind of...
A little extra done?
Not well done, but certainly not raw in the middle.
But it just as long as it's a pink center, it's okay, right?
Well, they say it should be fully cooked to 160 degrees, and I mean, I guess check it, but I make mine pink in the middle.
Is steak tartare not cooked at all?
No, not cooked at all.
It's completely raw?
Loves
Does
it?
He?
He orders
but isn't it a health risk?
Yeah.
It is, right?
Although, that's on their list, too. Sushi with raw fish.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me that.
Raw oysters, which I have recently gotten into. I love them, but their bacteria, I don't know if I can say it on the air, but Vibrio vulnificus bacteria can be present.
No, you cannot say that, Wendy.
That's the culprit
Please don't
in raw
say that.
Oysters. That's a weird...
Which part of that can't you say?
No, I can say it.
All right. Did you mean not pronounce it? Or...
No, I don't know. There was one. Sushi. I see no reason to consume uncooked fish proteins. Because steak tartare, I know, has some seasonings on it.
Yeah, but there's nothing cooked about it.
No. And same with the carpaccio is an Italian thing, which is also raw.
But
same.
Isn't that beef? But isn't it like ceviche where it's kind of marinated so it does kind of cook even though you're not cooking it?
Oh.
You know?
Oh,
I don't know. Because I don't eat meat, but I know that.
So he eats it knowing that it's potentially dangerous.
He
just likes it that much.
Loves it.
I've had, there's a smaller version, there's a restaurant we go to that does like an appetizer portion of it, and they brought it out once, we didn't order it, it's just a place that goes, hey, try this, we make this if you ever want to have it, and I ate it and liked it, and then it was explained to me what it was, and then I'm like, that's dangerous,
right?
Yeah,
and then they put like, some places will put a raw quail egg or a raw egg on top too, so
that's even
you
worse.
Yeah, that's making it worse.
You know what, I like to cook my food, that's why we have great ovens.
Yeah, I do love sushi, though, I have to tell you.
Do you? Yeah.
Yes, I love sushi.
Also, they say not to get food from bulk bins. Remember, we were talking about the grocery store and the little clicker that people, that our moms or grandmas used to have.
Yeah, the red clicker.
They also all used to have these giant barrels. They may still at some of the places.
Some places do.
And it's bulk bins, anyone with celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, or a serious food. Exactly. Because there's people that would grab a scoop from one, like from maybe the peanuts or the pecans, and then they'd put it in something else, and what if you can't have any kind of nut fiber at all?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's something you...
Avoid the bulk bins.
Yeah. And sushi, as I mentioned, and this might be it.
What about sushi from a bulk bin? What do they say about that?
Raw milk. There's this new thing about raw milk is supposed to be so good for you. It's not pasteurized or something. And
Orion is about to call Wendy. Just be ready.
Well,
his fingers on the dial right now.
It may be contaminated with Listeria, Salmonella, E. coli, or Campylobacter. Pasteurization of milk began back in the late 1800s because of the association of raw milk with foodborne illness.
Oh.
It isn't worth the risk. I don't even know where you'd get it unless you live on a farm.
Right, that would be it.
But you know how people now, all the rage is to get the fresh laid eggs?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, I didn't know anything about that, and now... you can get them. A lot of people have chickens in their backyard and have these fresh eggs.
Yes.
You don't have to have them refrigerated. So maybe there's this new raw milk craze, too.
Could be. Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't do it for you?
This is weird, too. Packaged lunch meats. I'm sorry, but we grew up with Oscar Mayer bologna and maybe Cotto salami or something.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had it in a while. But from a food safety perspective, many consumers don't realize that once it's opened...
Uh-oh, this is not going to be good.
Once it's opened, the product has to be consumed within 3 to 5 days, not by the expiration date.
Wendy, I got a bag of Buttig from my sophomore year in high school. That's still going to hold up, right?
But that is, you know, like expiration date. I had string cheese in our refrigerator, and I was looking, and they expired like 2 days earlier, and I wasn't going to take the chance.
Right.
So we had another bag of string cheese and I ate it. But once that thing is open.
Yes.
Anything, like if we have leftovers, we always go, is it still safe to eat? And I say, 3 days. That is the limit.
That's the
three
limit.
Days, depending on what it is, you might be able to go for. But 3 days, I toss things.
Yeah. About 2 days a week. Sometimes one, sometimes three, but on average two. I make panini sandwiches for lunch. Like when I go home, I do
you
a panini
do?
Sandwich on an English muffin. Yeah, it's so good.
Do you have a press?
Hammond's, yeah.
No?
My daughter Reese, when she was in grade school, that's what she wanted for Christmas. I don't know any other kid that wanted a panini machine for Christmas. That's what she wanted, and we got it for her. And it's amazing, right? So I do an English muffin with ham and cheese on it. It's outstanding. But when I get the cheese, I always do that one where it's a pack and you get like 10 slices in it. And if everything was good, you open the top and then it's got a resealable line on it. I'm O forever on that. Whenever I open it, no, I cut right through that line every single time. I've never done it successfully once, ever, ever, ever.
Have but Reese open it.
I'll have anyone open it. An infant come in and just open it for me. But for some reason, I don't know if this is the case with all cheeses or just Swiss cheese. Whenever I do that, 2 days later, the cheese gets very, very hard. Unless I put it in, and I've learned.
Is it black?
I put it in foil or in a bag,
yeah.
You know. But if I just leave it in that bag that it originally came in with the faulty opening mechanism,
can't reseal.
2 days later, it's like a rock.
Yeah, that's
very quickly.
And cheese is like, I might let go a week or two.
Would you? Yeah,
because like you know, I like Munster cheese for grilled cheese sandwiches, and if there's I hate to say this, but if there's no mold on it, it lasts longer if it's in your refrigerator.
I'm the same way with yogurt. I'll eat it a day or two after it's expired. And
yeah.
I am so particular about that, but I think yogurt's fine.
Yeah, because that's just germs anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're eating is liquid or creamy.
Lactobacillus.
Leo Buscaglia?
Wasn't that a book of the Bible?
Yeah, that was in the Bible in the Old Testament, Wendy.
But yeah, packaged lunch meats, you know, eat them while you got them. You can't leave them forever. And something I agree with, potluck dinner, because you never know who has made what. I don't like, I know you guys in the newsroom, everybody brings something. Judy was big on that, too. I don't... Bill will not eat any food from my house because I have a dog, which I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't eat any food from my house right now either, because this puppy seems to be shedding way more than my other dog did. So I have to constantly wash my hands and clean the counters, and I freak out. Like, if Jim's taking the dog out and he walks past my cooking area, I'm like, wait till I have the lid on it. I'm like freaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tiki was a blessing in comparison to Kona, because I am finding some hair and it's really bugging me. But potlucks,
maybe it's just the time of year.
Twice a year is what I notice with Tiki, so I'm hoping, you know, winter and summer, which I guess
that's
as the seasons change.
Right.
Hopefully that's it. But potlucks, you don't know what their cooking habits are. Yeah,
you don't know what somebody's kitchen's like.
I know.
Ugh.
So that's it. Things that food safety inspectors won't eat, and maybe we should listen to them.
My dad's company used to have a 4th of July picnic, and they would have these pie-eating contests where they would raffle off. Like, they would cut part of the pie for the judges to decide on, and then they'd raffle off the rest of the pies. And I always went, we don't know who the people are. We don't know what their kitchen situations are. Why would anybody buy that? But I guess you could say that about almost anything you're really buying. You don't know.
Well, and in a restaurant, you don't know what the kitchen looks like.
Right.
There was one restaurant we love. It's not a high-end one, and I'm not going to mention it. But went to use their restrooms, and the sink wasn't working, and it just really wasn't clean. So I'm thinking to myself, if the restrooms that the customers use are not well taken care of, what's the kitchen look like?
You don't want to know.
I've never been back.
Don't go. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Love to.
Enjoy your lunch, everyone.
Yeah.
At the buffet.
Good idea.
At the potluck with your sushi.
We will close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That's a little frightening, but I wouldn't mind going on a Kelly cruise.
One of those yodeling cruises. Very popular.
I'd go if Lou promised not to yodel.
That's your criteria.
Yeah.
It's not a lot to ask. That's it for today's presentation, everybody.
What are we, in grade school?
Yes. Yes, we are. Tomorrow, a huge show. I can't even tell you how big tomorrow's show will be. You wouldn't believe it.
Who's on it?
Don't know.
You can't tell me.
I can't tell you. It's a secret. Top secret tomorrow. Top secret Tuesday. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.